Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Thank you very much, Brian. And we are going to talk about that D-Day for the former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson now, who this afternoon faces a battle for his political future in front of the Commons Privileges Committee, where he'll be grilled about allegations that he misled Parliament unintentionally for over the Partygate scandal. The seven-member Privileges Committee this morning published a core bundle of evidence that is expected to be referred to during the hearing, which is due to start at 2 p.m. For more on this, I'm joined on the line by political correspondent at Times Radio, Charlotte Ivers. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning.
This is one of a couple of headaches for the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. The front of the British newspapers, they're filled with headlines about Boris Johnson, but it's all happening as MPs are getting ready to vote on the post-Brexit deal, which Boris Johnson now says he's going to vote against too, along with a number of other prominent Tories. So take us through what's happening on that side of things, firstly.
Well, as you say, there's been a bit of an upset for the Prime Minister this morning. It had been looking fairly good for him in terms of his party supporting this amendment that he's got to the Northern Ireland Protocol. And the European Research Group of Conservative MPs, that's sort of the hard Brexit wing of the Conservative Party, had come out and said that they didn't like the deal, but they said that they weren't going to whip their members to vote for or against it and that each would be able to make up their choice. And it didn't look like there was a particularly big rebellion going on. But this morning, some really big names have come out from the Conservative backbenches and said that they will not be backing this deal. So you've got Boris Johnson, you've got former Prime Minister Liz Truss, former leader of the Conservative Party, Ian Duncan Smith, former Home Secretary Priti Patel. And it certainly does look like they are willing to cause a headache for Rishi Sunak this afternoon. And it isn't that he's going to lose this vote in the House of Commons this afternoon, because the Labour Party have said that they will back him on this deal. But nonetheless, he now is going to face more allegations that his party is split, more allegations that he cannot hold his party together, and also some pretty big beasts throwing stones at him, frankly.
So it's his first real test, isn't it?
I think it is his first real test in terms of a proper parliamentary rebellion. We've been seeing a few mini skirmishes popping up every here and there, and probably actually negotiating this amendment to the protocol was his first real test. He passed that when it came to getting the deal reopened, as the EU said it wouldn't be. He passed it when it came to bringing the opposition on side, bringing the vast majority of his party on side. He hasn't passed it, of course, where it really matters in many ways, and that's in bringing the DUP on side. Because obviously, if the DUP decide that they don't like this, and they certainly don't, and then as a result, they decide they don't want to return to power sharing, well, then you cannot have an executive in Northern Ireland. And that actually, despite if you leave aside every other element of why that will be a challenge for Northern Ireland, means that this Stormont block that would be put in place today by Rishi Sunak basically won't be able to function, because you can't have a government blocking things if you don't have a government.
And these two stories, the Brexit vote and Boris Johnson's Partygate grilling, they're completely interwoven, aren't they, Charlotte? Because he'll start giving evidence, then we'll probably hear the bell and everyone will have to leave to go and vote.
Pretty immediately, exactly. So there will be a vote at 2:15. Boris Johnson's giving evidence at 2:00. And by the time he's finished his opening remarks, I suspect he'll be shuffling straight off to vote. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to play a short clip now. This is Boris Johnson's Conservative colleague, Steve Baker, who's also Minister of State for Northern Ireland, who is speaking to ITV News in the past little while. And this was his description of the choice when it comes to the Brexit vote facing Boris Johnson today.
Today's measures are better, of course, than the protocol that Boris Johnson put in place, a protocol which he spoke about, and those things he said turned out not to be accurate. So, you know, he's got a choice. He can be remembered for the great acts of statecraft that he achieved, or he can risk looking like a pound shop Nigel Farage. And I hope he chooses to be remembered as a statesman.
That's quite something, Charlotte. Is the intention here to try and take this one day and over the two stories that are running in tandem, bury Boris Johnson?
I'm not convinced that it is, to be honest. This has been a long set date. This is following the usual method as well for the passing of legislation through Parliament. Rishi Sunak wants to get it sorted as soon as possible. It is something of an unfortunate coincidence for the government that both of these things have come on the same day. And in a way, maybe it is fortunate as well, as you rightly indicate there, having both of these at the same time does mean it's rather harder to focus on one or the other. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it's getting all your bad news out there at once.
Now, on the Partygate issue, I know new evidence this morning was published by the Commons Privileges Committee. What did you learn?
Really quite remarkable evidence that we've seen from the Commons Privileges Committee this morning. That Boris Johnson putting forward his side of the argument. He was saying that he was assured by his advisers that all guidance was followed at all times. He did say all rules and guidance were followed in the House when he spoke in the House of Commons. And he says that that was a slip of the tongue, that he meant to just stick to the agreed line. Well, the committee this morning have published reams and reams of contemporaneous text messages, emails, and also interviews with key players in this saga. And there are quite a few notable things in it. I think what's most notable is quite how many conversations were going on within Downing Street, during which very senior officials essentially say, look, this doesn't look good. This is very difficult to justify. And as well as that, you have Martin Reynolds, for example, the boss of Downing Street, really, at that time on the civil service side, saying that he did not reassure the Prime Minister that rules were followed at all times. The same with the then Director of Communications. So the question is, why does Boris Johnson feel that he was? And you get an overwhelming sense from reading some of those text messages that really people in Downing Street were struggling to justify what had gone on, and that they were distinctly aware that rules and guidance had not been followed. So there are multiple questions for Johnson, really. The first is, did he mislead the House? Basically, it's agreed that he did. He does seem to think that he inadvertently misled the House. Then there's the question of whether it was deliberate. Well, you've got a fair bit of evidence kicking around in these dossiers to the effect that there were conversations going on around him during which he essentially was not given the assurances that he says that he was given, although he will argue that case. And then on top of that as well, if he did mislead the House of Commons, did it impede the Commons' ability to do its job? And that is also quite a key question here, because if you are to be in contempt of Parliament, you need to be actively obstructing Parliament. It can't just be something that's fairly trivial.
So it's interesting that these objections coming from some of the civil servants and party staff, they were coming at the time, around the time that the invitations were being issued for the party. This was not retrospectively saying, I'm not sure we can justify that that happened back then. This was right contemporaneously at the time when the parties were being organised and held.
There are some contemporaneous messages, that's true. And then as well, there are an awful lot of messages around the time Boris Johnson was having to give his statements to the House of Commons, essentially crisis management going on within the building, people trying to work out what line they should take in order to defend Boris Johnson's position and a position of the building as a whole. And within those, you really do get this sense that they are feeling like they're fighting an uphill battle. You have senior communications people essentially going through the events and trying to work out whether it is reasonable to say that the guidance was followed. It's interesting to note, actually, in one statement given by Boris Johnson in December 2021, we learned that Martin Reynolds, who, as I mentioned previously, is the civil service head of Downing Street from the time, had removed a line from that statement saying that guidance was followed at all times because he did not feel that that was a reasonable claim. Boris Johnson then, half an hour or so later, stood up and said it anyway. So the question will be, why did he do that? He says it was a slip of the tongue. Is that a deliberate attempt to mislead? He's certainly going to argue that he never intended to mislead when he looked at the parties as they are described in one of his WhatsApp messages. He did not see parties, he saw work events. I think it's indicative, perhaps, of one of the big challenges that Johnson has. A quote in this report from Dominic Cummings, his former chief of staff, a man who, to be fair, has absolutely no love for Johnson and has been known to throw stones at him. But his line is this: the Prime Minister certainly knew it was a drinks party because I told him, and when he walked outside, he saw a drinks party. And I think that will be the first element of what it comes down to. The committee has already said that they're pretty convinced that anyone looking at those events would see a party. Johnson says he didn't. So can he persuade them of that?
At the very least, it's going to be fascinating to watch, Charlotte, from 2 p.m. today. And thank you very much for taking us through it all. That's Charlotte Ivers, political correspondent at Times Radio.
Text 51551. Today with Claire Byrne.